Parabéns,
This is what we've seen so far. We're constantly complaining and describing things better happening. You notice we haven't said it's our fault yet. It's crazy. You have to understand, the only place where we start saying it's our fault is a few kinas a little later. When we finally say, after like 20 kinas, we finally say, the far Shema Tzedakah V'lo Nevoi Shesed Chutz. What's another? It's preventing. But at least we're beginning to see not only that there's a shock that something happened, but some kind of relationship between what we did and what happened. But we haven't taken responsibility. It's only from the Flash of Matzlaka that we're going to take responsibility. I want you to be aware of that. Sometimes, I think we'll skip a few of these and get to that one faster. But that's the thing. Because in reality, it's very frustrating. Okay, I know. If I be God, I'd say, okay, guys, I heard you. Now, what do you want to do? You know what I mean? But that's what's happening. We go literally almost 20 kinas not taking responsibility. Think of it. So I guess you have to focus. It's all trying to point out what you're missing after everything's happened. You know, I'd like to focus 2 minutes on this kina that you just read. I think for you it's the Zion, right? Shalom, Zerf, we also started with the pink Shalom, Asal, Bo, with all the new pink, which describes the whole story of Titus by Jeremy, Machal of the Pariches, took a Zaina and the Kedesh of Kedushin. If you read this, you saw we were sure he would be knocked down. Well, again, we lost it all. The Gemara says, on this, here, Kimcha Tachin Tachanta. God left her. He left. What they burnt was already a burnt up shell of the building. It was really ground wheat that they're grinding, the Gemara says. The house, the Beis Hamikdash Shel Mala, was done. And that's the Beis Hamikdash that we destroyed. We climbed from Moshe and discussed this at length. Says, yeah, when we have a Machshava, She'in and Nekiah in our mind, we're bringing in a Zoyin into the Kodesh HaKadosh Shel Mala. But when our heart is with Midos Rose, we're tearing up the Parochus. Discussing this mamash in the Nefesh HaChaim in the beginning of the true Churban lies in our minds and in our hearts, and he just, that was the externalities. It's frightening to think of that. He says that Titus and Nebuchadnezzar couldn't do anything in the root of reality. We undermine the root of reality. We undermine that relation with God. They can only touch as much as it's expressed in this world. In other words, the Sibas HaMalchus we destroyed. The Gilui HaMalchus they destroyed. We destroyed the root, they destroyed the branch, the leaves, the fruit. But what was this idea of him like taking a sword and tearing the Pareches? And then the Medrash says, it started bleeding. What did that mean? Obviously it's a metaphor. But believe me, if you would have seen blood, you would have been about truth. Obviously, it's a metaphor which has to be understood and explained. What did Chazal want to tell us? That when Titus, Noah's father, got Pareches, he started bleeding. So the Maral says something quite important. Because we say that when someone snuffs out the life of someone, it's called Shpichas Damim. Shpichas Damim, ways of killing without drawing blood. So why is the typical administration of typical way of killing a time was like a drawing blood,
a filly, a nefesh.
Or else it's something else. Like obviously, as they say, for taishna, for vessel.
I'm going to have to translate and embellish, bring it to a language we can all understand, and I'll explain it this way.
You know, the passage says that, so to speak, the soul is found in the blood, right? But to cover the blood, okay, blood can't damn who and everything. Once again, obviously, it doesn't mean that the soul is in the blood, because the soul has no place, so how could it be anywhere? You say, God is the God in the sky. Challenge. It's not in any place. Place is a dimension of which are matter. Matter, mass takes place. We talk about place, talk about conceptual place, or something metaphysical. Reality, nothing to do with space the way we know it. So when we say the blood is in, the soul is in the blood, it obviously doesn't mean that if you have a blood transfusion, you are getting another soul. So it means. What does it mean? It's quite obvious what it means. Without the soul, it has different dimensions. Nefesh, Ruach, Brachas, Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chayim, Nechida. Different dimensions of whatever that soul is. There are two expressions of that soul which are realized in our tangible material reality. They're called Nefesh and Ruach. Nefesh means that expression of the soul which gives you a live, organic matter. What you call the gift of life. That expression of life is an expression of that great soul. And when you pass on, that capability, that potential of the soul, that name of the soul, isn't expressed anymore. It's only expressed as much as you're alive. And afterwards, your nefesh is not expressed. It's an attribute of the great thing called the Shama. But just, okay. Like, there's no one to talk to. You don't say shit. Okay? You have no thing to think about. You don't think. The potential is there. Ruach is what would say the emotional personality, the moving, rocking person. Ruach. But Nefesh and Ruach are two attributes of the soul which are expressed in the man that lives. What would you say is the ultimate expression of life? Well, I think we're quite... People have bread in their lives. Now, obviously you know that if you want to define yourself as living, that you have a constant rejuvenation of your cell system and these constant nutrients. And those nutrients go through the bloodstream. As long as that murky red river carries the nutrients, you're alive. Constant rejuvenation of your cells, and you're alive. You're organic matter, you're alive. You know, when all of a sudden that there's no more life, that's just a murky stream. And it's not carrying anything, and it just becomes meaningless. Sticky red river. So what it means for you, for some of you mean to say that the nefesh is in the dam doesn't mean the soul is in the body, in the blood. It means the blood, the living blood stream, is the biggest expression of you being alive. You actually, your souls, are, your cells are changing and you are alive. You're doing well. And when you stop living, yeah, you're just a murky stream. And the river became meaningless. Shvichas Damim means to say, we poured out the meaning from the blood. But the maral. It's been transformed from a vibrant Mississippi in the old steamboat days into a place which is just thumb river. It's not even good for rafting.
No, we have to call it out.
It's just the Mississippi. That's all it is. Same thing. It's like, you know, I guess the Chicago, the Erie Canal used to be very important once upon a time ago. And so were the railroads. Things have changed. Everything changes and things become meaningless. They're empty shells of that which was, and its life is gone. Not fair, but Paraitis means to say, by his careful count, the Korban was emptying out the meaning of the Paraitis. What is the meaning of the Parashas? You know, I want to explain something very, very important, you know. But this is a day of introspection, and I guess we have to like think. And we actually should think all our lives. I find not thinking boring, but days like this, what else are they for? For your fashion for myself. You know, there's a world called the world of thought. When I mean world, I don't mean Jurassic Park or something like that. You know, I mean the world, there's an existence of the world of thought. People live in the world of thought. It's great to be in. World of ideas. And that's where they live, breathe, walk, and talk. Even talking is tedious. We're very close to a person, which you don't have to talk, you're just together, it's enough.
I hope you are.
Like, talking is tedious. Having a great idea and have to explain it, excuse me, public, to the public, it's like he's diluting it, bringing it down into little words. I have infinite feelings. I'd rather be poetry, at least it somehow is some not as constricting as words, but you have to communicate, and you have to communicate those words. Actually, the world of words is very constricting. It is. Feelings, profound thoughts, when they have to bring God what down.
Hey, I teach 18-year-old adolescents.
Remember them? Those acne little things?
Okay, I teach them and transform them from pumpkins into Homo sapiens.
So, you know what it takes? You take the profoundest of ideas and you bring it down to a level which through that you will elevate, you can crack open the coconut shell which covers their minds, or the elephant skin which covers their minds, and actually tear it off and pour it in, you know what I mean? It's a way to deeper. Talking is a hard thing to do. Yup, the truth lies in silence. I don't want to sound like Simon Garfunkel, but it is true. The sounds of silence are the best. Yeah. Speech is another realm. It's a realm of materialization of things, of defining things. But those thoughts are so much broader. You have so much more to talk about. I always feel frustrated when I say and share. I say, "Oh God, I didn't know half of it." You know, it's like, but forget it. Kemata la'itzim v'la'avonim. What can you do? You wait when they grow up, and then they tell you, "Rebbe, you were right." So we usually have to share the argue, and then I say, "Talk to me 5 years from now." Then you get the emails. "Yeah, you were right." I figured it just takes time. They put in a lot of fertilizer. So, you know, the world of speech is hard. Action, I really want to talk about. Formulating, communicating is hard for a man who lives in a world of thought. It's so much easier. I still remember, if I may reminisce, I had a great chavrusa for many years. He was a very, 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 very big talmud. He was Rosh Yeshiva, Chavrusa Yeshiva. It was this librarian that we lived with for 10 years. And you know, it was so great living with this man, because he would say, "This Raj makes no sense." He would say, "Yeah, but you forgot the Raj for your Bifu." He says, "No, look at the third line. No, look at the seventh." A great chavrusa. You know what I mean? I didn't have to talk too much. He knew so much. It was crazy. It was phenomenal, like beyond normal. Every Rajba, he could pour out all the different parallel Rajbas and Shas and Shulas to tell you what the word means in context. That's what Ketlerik. No, they can look. So it was a. And the Chavrusa didn't talk too much. Because you are in a way, you can understand each other. Actually, every 10 days, I just spent one day. But I knew who I was dealing with, so you really had to like be prepared. But it was a pleasure. I didn't have to talk. And since he didn't have to talk, he left me a lot of place for creativity, which is very important. But what's the world of speech and that's the world of thought? Real relationships are through the speech you enter the world of thought. What a real student is, I can tell you now. These little boys that write the notes, it's cute. I record them.
basically, right now it's called book, what you want, but that's, in order to listen to this, the student understands the thought process of the teacher and figures out what he's going to say, not what he's going to say, but what won't he say. I repeat again, it's the pauses and the silences which you have to learn. The words are easy. That's information. You can only regurgitate information, the Malagera, but common. But can you connect the thought process to the inner essence of the person, and then you're a student? That's what a student is. A real Talmud is a Talmud which understands the shtika of the Rav, not the Dibur. Dibur is easy. Not easy, but commonly doable. That's where you have all the Kedusha Rep stuff. You know, they write their Shurim books. Very nice. Book's good. At the end of the day, it's have you connected to his mind? Have you connected to his heart? Has it? Are you just a stupid clone, or has that nurtured your own personality? If you're the latter, you're a real talent. If not, whatever you are, I don't know how to fight. Fine, you're a student. All of that. So you have to understand those in the Kodesh and Kedushim and the Kodesh. The Kodesh and Kedushim was a place where God expressed the world of thought. In the Kodesh and Kedushim, God's essence and presence was so clear that they actually defied the laws of physics. And the Gemara said the Ur and HaKodesh did not take space. This is impossible. But actually, mass did not take space in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. They measured the dimensions of the Kodesh HaKadoshim to the right side 10 amas, to the left side 10 amas. For goodness sake, the only thing was 20 amas. And the Aron HaKodesh didn't take space. Now that's more than cool. That's Twilight Zone. That's the other side. That's like saying, people, you take for granted certain realities, no, they're my will. And I will that law not to exist at the moment. It's a nice way of saying you're going not into the expression of Dvar Hashem Shemayim Nasu, which means the laws of science. You're experiencing that which precedes the laws of science. The thought of God, the will of God, that willed the laws of science. And willed the form of thought called logic. All those are will of God. Of an infinite God, which is not defined and not governed, definitely not governed for law by logic, as he created that form of thought, not governed by any laws, for those laws are nothing more than repetitious behavior of God wanting something to happen, ultimately not defined by anything. And you are going and experiencing the non-defined reality of the source of it all. It's called the world of thought. That's where it started. It's a frightening experience if you see that. The great Kohen Gadol, when he walked in, was so flabbergasted there was no way of talking. He only did the tefillah and sorrow when he walked out. Not when he was in there. When you're there, you don't experience a sense of self. There's nothing to ask for. You experience nothing but the true source of all. You're looking at the primary reason of everything. And actually experiencing a total annulment of self. It's frightening. That's the Kodesh HaKadoshim, but that's hidden. No one can walk in there. It's Lo Yirani Adam Bachai. You are meant to live. You are meant to experience the laws of science. You are meant to better the world that you're in. You're not meant to jump, stop the world and get off and go to the Kodesh HaKadoshim. We have a rep that does it once a year. When he wants to turn back time and the clock and try to undo sin which was and bring us back as if we didn't, he walks into that machine, that place where time and dimensions and division do not exist. He's walking back in time to the source of time. And that's the Kodesh HaKadosh. And then there's the Parichus, which is the place which is that interim will be called Kabbalah, the Parsha, to which the Kodesh HaKadoshim emanates into the world of speech. They defined Menorah, Mizbeach, Shulchan, words with God, you'll have Chokma, do this, you'll have that. Torah, Mitzvahs, a lot of holy things. The world of me feeling a human being, God is there, and I'm serving Him. It's an I-Thou relationship. That does not exist in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, for there's a total annulment of the sense of I. Your experience Ein Sof. There's nothing to talk about. You can't talk. There's no sense of me. That connection of what religion really is, all our lives, if we believe Gemara, we try to not only know the halacha, but to understand the underpinnings of it, thought process behind it, the metaphysical ideas behind it, the metahalachic principles behind it. We analyze it till we cut it to the smallest pieces of matter possible. We're trying to bring it back to the Kodesh HaKadosh. That can only happen when there's a relationship with the Kodesh HaKadosh and the Kodesh, with the world of thought and the world of action and speech. That was a great thing having a Mikdash. The Mikdash was the source of God experiencing itself into man's psyche and experiencing. Allowing you to take all the fragmented reality that you're living in and bring it back some way to its natural source. There's a very famous Fasemis on the Pasuk, Kuyim Achem Dvarim Vishuvu El Hashem. So there's Dvarim, those are the Asaram Amarot Yibon Yisraha Olam. So it's a fragmented world of 10 sentences which created so many different things. Take all those words and bring it back to its source. Yeshua El Hashem, bring it back to its source reality. Understand it all comes from the world of thought of God. It gives a different meaning. It gives life a different message. It gives a different message. I repeat again, when you do your sciences and your math, and obviously when you learn Torah, you're bringing all that back to where it was. And that was destroyed. Yidra Paraykis means he get that capability, that thing, that point where we can actually filter from the Kodesh HaKadosh into the Kodesh, became meaningless. That's what we said before. Sasan Filosai, our actions are as potent as they used to be. We did, because of that, at that point in time, we couldn't make the big difference. And it gets harder, doesn't it? The more we're engulfed in the world of reality, the less we're open to the world of transcendent abstract thought. If anybody tries to live in a world of abstract thought, oh yeah, he's a good doc philosopher. And I think the key of reality is what my daddy always used to tell me, the Pasuk says, Hashemayim kishiva aret adon raglai. The earth is my feet, my footstool. But in the heavens is where I live, I exist. He always used to tell me, Mendel, you have to be like God. So I told him, in the group, in the serious group. That's not it. He says, you know what it is? You have to have your head in the heavens, 2 feet entrenched on earth. You need a Kodesh HaKadoshim, and you need a Kodesh. That's where you live. So this is this, once again, talking about the Churban, what this means, if you look carefully, the desecration of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The siluk of the Olam Hadas, and falling only into the Olam of Dibur and Maisa, is what we're talking about in this Kingdom. Taking away the capability of having a filter going through a Gideus HaParaychus. That's why you took off the Parayphus. And you took off the Parayphus as a Pateira, as I point out, the Rabbi says that every Oren HaKodesh, to a certain extent, as a Getter like Kodesh HaKadoshim. Is a mitzvah liyached mokel leseper Torah lechabdoi yosef midai ki kol dvorim shebeluchos harayhen b'chol sefer v'sefer loshen harama mitzvah pinu. And that would makes this a beis haknesses, not just a beis hamedrash. As the mikdash needs an oren, we discussed this on Shabbos. Without an oren, it would be a bama. This would be a beis hamedrash, not just a beis haknesses. We took away the parayfus. Now you understand why. It's a churban of the Gilui Hadas, the biggest churban possible.
They're stuck in a rut. Even my mice and even my deeper, it's so much harder to bring it back to even on the show. So the next keynote, if you don't mind, I'm going to like roll now and explain, and then we'll just say it faster. In the keynote, I think it's designed by you. It's a combination for you, and it's just what I believe, which you will say shortly. Here, we finally describe how we became so depraved. You know, some terrible things happened. We went down to the lowest things possible. We became cannibals. It's frightening to think about all this. But once, if you look at it carefully, we're just woven. Oh, we really feel terrible. I lightly. And you know, I guess God and the Python is expressing the frontish. Enough of this. Okay, you don't have a this, you don't have a that. You're complaining. God, you sound like a teenager. And how does it end? I need you to hear the end, because it's the most important part of this keynote. And God raises his voice opposite those who are constantly complaining. Woe is me. Woe are my bad neighbors. You realize until now, we've got almost 20 kinnis. You're a bunch of bad neighbors. Ludwig! You're complaining about the parking. That's all you're doing. Do something about it. Mashu ka'ammo de'im, that which happened to them. All they talk about for 20 kinnis. Goodness, it's 12 o'clock. Mishmush to mishmush li neba. The Esa Shalom Salomo de'im, no one's talking about what you guys did. Why don't you like say, I said, remember the key in the back, I mentioned it. He still kept talking about what's happening to you. What would have expected after the keynote saying, God says, guys, it's because of what you did, you should have started saying, Mechashem is not going to mush upon him. Nay, you heard it. Like you heard a good mushishmush. And you kept on saying, mir shver, mir bitter. It's frightening. If you look at the key, it's really frustrating. That's why I have a hard time saying it. You know what I mean? So finally God says, enough! Massive infant. It sounds bad, but it's the truth. You're bad neighbors. You talk. Don't you understand it's up to you? Don't you understand that you have to take responsibility? Don't you understand it's because of you? When you complain, it means you think someone owes you something. He doesn't owe you life. He doesn't owe you health, wealth, the pursuit of happiness. He doesn't owe you anything! He doesn't owe you anything. So why don't you understand that in Mashu Kram Modi'im Ube'eta Shalom Asu Lo Modi'im Im Tochala Nashim Peyam Mashmi'im, or you scream loud how terrible it was that mothers had to eat the flesh of their children. We know the famous Kim Morrison gives that really terrible, and you can call the pictures all you want. That you don't talk about the what you people did, that you murdered Zechariah, that you married a Kohen and Navi. You don't mention anything of that. And that's what we have to understand. It's so easy even to attribute. Now, until then, we haven't attributed sin to occurrence. We haven't done it yet. God did it. It's a terrible thing. So now we should do, at least do that. But you have to understand, even if you attribute that this happened because of X, it doesn't mean you're repenting. Not at all. So first you pass it in Chumash, in Vayela. Finally, you know, the end of the Pesach, I guess they, it's like they also said Kiddush. They're oily, whatever they did. The God also said, Genug. And you know, finally said, El Al Hashem, Ein Hashem, because God's not with us, this is what happened. Baruch Hashem, at least that. What did the Pasuk say? Baruch, Aster, Pane, Bei, Sahi. I'm going to go deeper into Aster Pane. Why? Because you didn't do tshuva. You didn't take responsibility. You didn't do anything about it. But we now understand it was due to our sin. Fiskal mitzvahs make a mishabera. And now what? New. Where are you holding what you plan to do with it? And it is so important to understand where you're holding Don't fix things which are 3 leagues higher than you. What are you really holding? I always love teaching my students a story I heard when I was 11 years old. When I was 11 years old, I learned in an institution in Brooklyn called Dunker Room and Lodge. And a great teacher, his name was Rav Yochai, he's still alive. He didn't like it. That type. He spoke Rav, or even Yale. I remember he told the story that the person came to the Balatanya. And he said, Rebbe, Fatasi, Avisi, Pashati, Asisi, Kach, Vekach. Sometimes they do that to you.
The other thing, the Kach of the Yisradness, so when you get that, you feel very queasy.
So,
the Rebbe had so what? So what? The guy says, no. The truth is, I don't really care.
And the Rebbe says,
yeah, what else is new? So what? That keeps for 2 minutes, and he gets raised and says, I actually don't care that I don't care. Then you realize how long he really wasn't saying there. And the Rebbe knocks him on the shoulder and says, no, you're Gemanchik. Now we know where we're at. Let's build from there. Now we know where I'm at. It's there that we have to start building. We will not build a fourth floor where we don't have a basement. I think it's so important to understand that when we describe these kiddos and describe, we have to be mashmiya something, and that's very subjective, I believe. No, don't think of Klal Yisrael at the moment. Think of Reb Yisrael, because when all the Reb Yisraels get together, it will be a great Klal Yisrael. And Reb Yisrael has to ask, where is he holding, and where is he deficient, and what's his root of his religious issues? Well, I'm getting away with murder here because the rabbi at the synagogue got fired by now. But really, I'm not joking, but I think the right thing is said. It has to be said. Someone has to do this. Where's the root of my chisroinus and avaitis Hashem and ruchnis? What's the root of my nichlus by ruach shtus? Where's the root of that? And everyone has to look at it on themselves. It's crazy, we're all good at asking embarrassing questions to other people, but we don't ask them for ourselves. But for ourselves, we have a surface mirror.
The stuff that makes you look slim.
Okay, so we're good. Very hard thing to do. But if we really want to make a difference, you want to be a better father, spouse, neighbor, friend, person, Jew, take us to the mirror. Mirror, which will tell you the truth. It's almost like a Dorian Gray picture. I don't want to forget it. But you know what I mean? That's what I meant. Well, good book. And then you know where you are. And then you can actually fix it. And you will be better. And it will be better. And you want to say, oh, when will it happen? You actually make it happen. And that's what this is all about. So, if the Chalul Hashim to Yom Hashmi'im, Im Yereg, the Midrash Adonai, Behen Zemabi, Loi Mashmi'im. Let's say the Kinnah. Chalul Hashim.